Here's an interesting fact for you. The name Hosea, who is God's spokesperson in this book we're studying right now on the Bible Bus, is another form of the name Joshua, which is the Hebrew version of the Greek name Jesus. Hosea, Joshua, Jesus. All their names mean salvation. The Old Testament man named Hosea and before him Joshua were pictures of what Jesus Christ embodied in the flesh, God's salvation. Welcome to Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, inviting you to hop aboard the Bible Bus as we continue our five-year journey through God's entire Word. With a stop today in the Old Testament book of Hosea, Dr. McGee begins our program by sharing a letter from a concerned listener. Now, no doubt we will all be moved by this issue that we still deal with today, and it all comes down to what we'll hear about in our study of Hosea 3 and 4. People follow destructive ways because they don't know or understand God. The tragedy naturally leads to despising the truth and withholding mercy. Let's listen now to this letter from Corvallis, Oregon.
As the chairman of Corvallis Right of Life, I have been involved lobbying state legislators concerning several bills. One bill we are concerned with has to do with handicapped babies being denied food and water after birth to hasten their death. In talking to legislators, the feeling among them seemed to be that it is better to let the child die, whatever the methods, to spare the family the burden of a handicapped child. After talking to them, doubt began to creep into my mind. Maybe it's better for such a child to die. Maybe God would have it this way. But I still felt sure that starvation and dehydration weren't the way. As this was happening, a baby girl was born in an Oregon town, severely deformed. Right to Life knew she would soon die, but fought for nearly a week to legally secure food and water. It wasn't easy. The night the baby died, I was led to read in Lamentations before I went to sleep. This scripture made an impact, and it's from Lamentations 4, 3 and 4. Even jackals offer their breasts to nurse their young. But my people have become heartless like ostriches in the desert. Because of thirst, the infant's tongue sticks to the roof of its mouth. The children beg for bread, but none gives it to them. And that's the end of that quotation. The next morning at 7:30 a.m., I switched on the radio, and there you were, reading the very same scripture. I took it as a sign from God to me that this was indeed a heartless thing that is happening and removed any doubt I had. I thank you for your part in reaffirming to me what I am certain God was trying to impress on me. I also thank you for the words of your own that morning, denouncing abortion as a major evil of our time. You're probably not surprised to hear that the clergy in this community do not share your strong convictions against abortion, but with the help of God, we continue our fight against it. May God bless your ministry as it opens the eyes of many like me who are seeking answers in the Bible but stumbling along through it. We need your help so much. I appreciate that letter, as you can well understand, and may I just say this one word, regardless of the condition of the baby, to take that baby's life is murder, and to say that you can take that baby's life, you're taking the place of God, and God doesn't like to share his place with anyone, by the way.
Let's give the Lord his proper place in our attention now. Pray with me. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your great love, giving us what's best, even though we don't always understand. Please use your word to quicken our hearts today to bring comfort, instruction, conviction. Thank you for its truth that helps us discern truth and obey you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, today as we come to the fourth chapter of Hosea, we're now coming to a section where we're leaving the private life of Hosea. It fades into the background, and the emphasis now is upon the Lord and Israel. But I would just like to back up for just a moment, therefore, to chapter 3 at verse 1, because this, I believe, is very important. Here we read again, "Then said the Lord unto me, Go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love cakes of raisins." Now, four times in this little verse here, you have the word love mentioned. Great many people think you have to get to the New Testament before you find anything about love. I believe that if you'd examine it carefully, you'd probably find that there's more said about love in the Old Testament than in the New. That is because, of course, the Old Testament is much longer and there's more of it than we have of the New Testament. But it is interesting to note that there's a great deal about love. Now, I was thinking after I made the broadcast last time that this first verse here is actually an equation, a mathematical equation. And it puts it like this: God's love equals Israel's sin. And I shouldn't say equal, but God's love times Israel's sin equals Hosea's love times Gomer's sin. So you see that we do have an equation here, and out of that home he comes now to speak to the nation, and he knows how God feels about them. Now, everything up to this point has been in the way of generalization. God has said they've sinned, that they have played the harlot. They've been unfaithful to him. Now he's going to spell it out. And you can make a comparison, actually, between this particular chapter and the first chapter of Isaiah. And you ought to compare it there, because Isaiah spoke to the southern kingdom, and then he spelled out God's charge against the nation. Now, here, again, God brings them into court. He makes certain charges, and he proves them. That is the message of chapter 4. In fact, chapters 4 and 5, he's saying now to Israel, you are playing the harlot. And Israel, in this chapter, is guilty of lawlessness, immorality, ignorance of God's word, and idolatry. And we see here in this first verse, the Lord confronts Israel with the fact that they have no knowledge of God. And then in verse 2, he spells out their specific sins. Now, will you listen to it? Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Now, he says these three things here: there's no truth, there's no mercy, and there's no knowledge of God in the land. In other words, these people have been brainwashed with idolatry. And as a result, there was actually no mercy. And God had instructed them to be merciful. In fact, he said, when the stranger comes into your land and the poor, they're permitted to go in and glean. And God says, I take care of them this way, and you're to do this. Why? Because he says, I am the Lord your God, and I'm a holy God. They'd forgotten that. They were no longer being merciful. And there was actually no knowledge of God in the land. Oh, there's a great deal of religion, but no knowledge of God in the land. Now, they were breaking the Ten Commandments. Listen to this. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. Now, each one of these things that he mentions, they were breaking the Ten Commandments. Go back to the 20th of Exodus and read it. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And all of this was even among their relatives, blood touching blood. They were committing all of these sins. They actually were breaking the Ten Commandments. I want to say something very carefully at this time, and will you listen very carefully? God gave the Ten Commandments, which is only part of the Mosaic system, to the nation Israel. But in that, God expresses His will. The church today is not put under the Ten Commandments as a way, that is not living the Christian life if all you do is keep the Ten Commandments. Now, that doesn't mean you break them. It just simply means He's called you to a higher plane, and you're called to live in the power of the Spirit of God. Now, God is not asking the unsaved world anything, but He does have a great deal to say about nations. And the nation Israel that He chose and dealt with them furnishes a pattern to the other nations of the world. Now, we have had what has been so-called a Christian civilization in Europe. It never was really Christian, but it had the semblance of it. The laws were patterned after this, and these are laws for a nation. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Among those are other things. God condemned drunkenness. God condemned homosexuality, and He has the strongest language for that. He says when a people or an individual indulges in that, and I don't care what you call it, my friend, God says He gave them up. He gave up this nation. They were guilty of that. They were guilty of indulging in these sins. We today are guilty of the same thing. There's no knowledge of God in this land. Oh, I know there's a church on every corner, and Sunday morning you can hear church bells everywhere. But, of course, a very small percentage of the population go to church. And very few are actually being reached with the Word of God. There is a Gideon Bible in every hotel room and motel room in this country. As far as I know, the first thing I do when I go to a new hotel or a new motel to stay, I look around for the Gideon Bible. And I've noticed recently it's been out on the table. That is, it's been out and opened up so you can see it. Now, I do not know how much it's being read. The Gideons say they receive many letters telling of conversion. But I'm sure that a great many of those Bibles are not ever opened. I know I've been to several places where I'm convinced that the Bible had never been opened before. We're a nation of biblical ignoramuses. We do not know the Word of God today in this land, but the Watergate hearings in Washington certainly turned the spotlight on our government, and actually not to one political party, but to both political parties, that there's corruption in this land of ours. And I wasn't quite sure whether all of the liars were sitting in the witness stand or were on the other side on the committee. And I think you'll find them in both parties. I think that you will find corruption today in this land in both parties. And the chairman of the committee, I was greatly disappointed in him, the way he not only misquoted Scripture, he misinterpreted it and said that the four Gospels contradicted each other. And that went out on television. And may I say to you, I, for one, protest that, because I felt like demanding equal time. Everybody else demands equal time to answer that there is no contradiction in the four Gospels. And when a man says that, he reveals a woeful ignorance of the Word of God. Now, I'm saying all of this to say this, that our land is in the same kind of a condition that these people were in that day. I'm going to take just one particular phase. We're told that a few years ago that in Washington there were 128 cocktail parties every day. And again, the spotlight that's been turned on these hearings reveals that there's drinking probably in Washington, couldn't be more in Los Angeles, but there's been a great deal of it there. Now, I want to share with you today some facts and figures, and there are a few brave editors today in this country, but most of it's the liberal press. They follow one particular line, and just like Israel was brainwashed, our nation today is being brainwashed by nothing in the world but propaganda and liberalism. But down in San Diego, the local paper down there had a headline, and this goes back to January the 11th, 1972. It was on the front page of the paper, bottom of the page, but it was a headline, "Alcoholics cost area businesses $10 million. May I say to you, people cry out about the high cost of living, cry out about the high cost of war and high cost of government. All of that is true. But who's crying out against liquor today? No one's crying out against it. And yet, right here in Los Angeles, they say that in this country, there are 9 million American workers who are alcoholics, and 450,000 of them are in Los Angeles County. What do you suppose that has to do with what you buy at the store today? They say, "Preacher, this is none of your business." It's my business in several different ways, and I wish there were more crying out against this sort of thing. The pulpit's become extremely silent in these matters, and when I go to the store, I'm paying a higher price for things because government and the nation, we are engaged in gross immorality today, breaking these Ten Commandments. You don't get by with it as a nation. These commandments have been the basis of every so-called Christian civilization, and I'm not going to debate that point with anyone. And it's estimated that half of the 55,000 deaths on U.S. highways and streets were the result of alcohol drinking. My, we had protests about the killing in Vietnam. There was more killing by alcohol in accidents. And I found nobody leading a protest in front of a brewery or the cocktail lounge. It's estimated that $15 billion is spent today for alcoholic beverage. Now, will you listen to this? Today, they're saying alcoholism is a disease. And this has been answered by a doctor. He says, "Alcoholism a disease? If so, listen to this. It's the only disease contracted by an act of the will. It's the only disease that is habit-forming. It's the only disease that comes in a bottle. It's the only disease causing hundreds of thousands of family disruptions. It's the only disease promoting crime and brutality. It's the only disease contributing to hundreds of thousands of automobile accidents. It is the only disease playing a major part in over 50% of the more than 50,000 annual highway deaths. It is the only disease which is sold by license. It's the only disease that's bought in grocery stores, drug stores, and well-marked retail outlets. It's the only disease that is taxed by the government," and on. There's more to this. I'll just read that to you today. May I say to you, our eyes are shut to this because we've been brainwashed, and the liquor interests have this tremendous control today. And as a result, our nation sinks lower and lower because we have what's called a new morality, and wasn't new at all. Israel was practicing it way back yonder in about 700 B.C., and I wouldn't call it new morality back there by any means. They were breaking all these commandments, and God condemned them for it. And homosexuality was practiced even back as far as Sodom and Gomorrah. It's the reason he destroyed these places. He judged them. And today, actually, some of the legislatures, filled with men ignorant of the Word of God, ignorant of this thing which has been basic for this nation of ours, and they pass legislation that makes it so that two homosexuals can get married. The liberal church says that we should not consider them sinners. And I know I speak to many homosexuals. I'll get letters on this. May I say to you, the Lord Jesus Christ says that you've got to be born again, and He can deliver you from it. These things are not diseases today, but when they're treated as what they really are, sin, then God can deal with us. We are doomed as a nation. As much as Israel was condemned and sent into captivity. And after all, they were God's chosen people. We are not, by any stretch of the imagination. We can't make that claim, but this is the basis on which God judges nations. Now, I spent a little time there, and I got warmed up on that. I think somebody today needs to be saying something along this line. But the pulpit is strangely silent in this connection. Well, one reason they never study Hosea. You know, here's one of the forgotten prophets. Now I'm going to keep on reading. Verse 3. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth in it shall languish with the beasts of the field, with the fowls of the heavens, yea, the fish of the sea also shall be taken away. The land will languish. All of a sudden, we found out that we're polluting everything today. When I was a boy, I went swimming in a swimming hole in a creek in southern Oklahoma that was as clear. You could see 25 feet to the bottom. My friend, may I say to you, it smells to high heaven. We polluted the land today. The land here is mourning. And then another very interesting thing is, a few years ago, it was plenty. All of the granaries were filled with grain. There was plenty of everything. And may I say today, we're hearing something about scarcity. You see, when God judges a nation, the land is involved, and even the beasts and the fowls have to suffer for the sin of man. And they are suffering also today because of man's sin. Verse 4. Yet let no man strive, nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. What has happened? Why, the priest in that day was not doing his duty, not warning the people, and God had raised up the prophet. What about that? Verse 5, therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. That is the nation. Why? Because now even there were the false prophets that were rising up and telling people, well, everything's going to be all right. This thing's going to work out. We live in a new day, and the Bible is an old book, and the Ten Commandments, they belong to the past, to our grandfathers and grandmothers, but we today have reached a very high plane. May I say to you, we're a dirty lot. We have sunk very low today as a nation and as a people. Now, verse 6 is probably one of the most quoted verses. It's considered to be one of the most familiar verses. I'm reading now Hosea 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's the reason we're teaching the Bible today. That's the reason we're going into a book like this, is because, my friend, it's the ignorance of the Word of God. They're destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I'll also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. You see, God intended the whole nation to be priests unto him. And in the millennium, they will be that. But God says you're not even going to have priests at this particular time. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. That is, even the people of the nation. Now God says, I will also forget you because you've forgotten me. In other words, they've come to the time of judgment because they've gone through a long, sordid history of departing from the Lord. Now, I'll have to leave off there today, but you can see how important this chapter is, and we hope, though, to finish it next time. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
It's a sobering reality we see in the people of Israel in Hosea's time, and also in our culture today. It's tragic to turn our backs on God. May God help us to always keep the truth in our hearts. We're God's, and we can never be at peace until we are in close relationship with Him. Augustine said it well, our hearts are restless until they can find rest in God. Tomorrow we're back in Hosea, as always, so if you'd like to listen to this study again, All of Dr. McGee's sermons and studies are available online. Just visit ttb.org to see your many options or call 1-800-65-BIBLE. As we go, I'd ask that you join me in reading through the rest of Hosea 4 before tomorrow's study. To read ahead each day and prepare your heart for what God wants to teach you through His Word, download our free scripture reading schedule. It's available in the resources section at ttb.org by clicking on newsletter and bookmark, or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE to receive it by mail. I'm Steve Schwetz. For all of us at Through the Bible, may we walk with God today and in His Word. See you next time.
Sin had left a crimson stain.
Today's study is always available, free to stream or download, thanks to the generous and faithful investments from your fellow Bible Bus travelers. Go to ttb.org or download our app to listen again anytime. And remember, as always, we'd love to know, what's God teaching you?